This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Staples, and I'm joined today once again by Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com. Of course, as a reminder, before we start, you can find me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can find Wayne at Wayne McGahee III. And of course, don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes or your podcast manager of choice. You can listen to this podcast also on Seminole Sports Radio from VSporto and listen on your mobile devices via the Seminole Sports Radio app on iTunes or the Android Marketplace. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please rate us on iTunes. The more five-star ratings we get, the better. Definitely helps us out a lot. And tell a friend. The more listeners we have, the more episodes we can get out. And, of course, we're happy to engage with any of you on social media, and whether that be Facebook or Twitter or whatnot. Happy to have lots of you listeners interacting with us on a daily basis. Talking recruiting, and right before we came on air, right before we started recording this, out of the blue, Florida State lands a prospect out of Lowndes High School in Valdosta. Gabe Neighbors wasn't on our board, wasn't on anyone's board that I know of, other than the coach's board. Surprising commit, but not a bad player for sure. A kid that fits a need Florida State was going for, but this certainly caught me by surprise. I'm pretty sure it did you as well. Fill us in a little bit on what you know about this so far, Trey.
It just came out of the blue. Like you said, he's visited Florida State. I just finished talking to him. He's visited Florida State each of the last three summers. He's camped there. And I mean, Florida State liked him. The thing is that they wanted to take a fullback / H-back type player in one of the next two classes. And with what they have committed, what they have coming in, it didn't look like they were going to be able to fit one in this class. But I'm not. First off, I want to address that it's not necessarily due to Florida State not landing kids that they thought they were going to land.
Yeah, there's plenty of space. I mean, there's more space in this year's class than next year's class as far as my numbers go.
Yeah, I mean, there could just be some extra attrition that they're expecting. It's not, it's not out of the blue that could happen. But I've seen the kid in person a few times. I really like his game. But the issue was that we just didn't think that Florida State would be taking a fullback or H-back type, player in this class along with Upshur. So it's definitely an interesting commitment, but I love the kid. He's the first true fullback that Florida State's committed or had committed in, I think, since Jimbo took over. I mean, you've got to think Freddie, Chad, those guys all moved over from linebacker. Well, Chad Abram was initially a safety, got too big to play safety, and then he moved from linebacker to fullback. But this is he brings a lot to the table. He can catch. He can run. He is a hard-nosed football player, and I'm a big fan of him, but he's just it really did. It just came out of the blue. Florida State decided they wanted him. He got the offer today. He committed on the spot.
Well, the thing is, I'm not. When this is a kid that was going to commit on the spot, no matter. I mean, this kid grew up a Florida State fan. As far as everything I've seen about the kid, he bleeds garnet and gold. He's the kind of kid you want on your roster. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You look at his tape, and he's a hard nosed kid, a very tough kid. You need these blue collar 3-star players. I mean, Fisher talks about this all the time about the difficulty of sustaining success, and that, if you get too many blue chip guys, and we've talked about this in the last couple of years, it's weird to say, but you can have too many blue chip guys. You can actually have, and it's not a matter of talent, but in terms of blue chip mentalities. And Fisher's talked about this behind the scenes before, and I think I wrote an article on it last year, if I remember right, that he's talked about the need to maintain sort of the balance of you've got to have glue guys on your roster. Well, this is one of those kids. He's not a superstar. He's not a difference maker. But like you said, he fits a lot of the things that Florida State was looking for. And again, I didn't think Florida State would take a fullback type kid in this class. I thought they'd take that kid next year. I mean, I'm already on my board for next year. I'd filled in that as a probability, and it turns out they took him in this class. Now, the interesting thing I think about Neighbors is you mentioned he's a true fullback, and I'm going to push back on that a little bit because I don't know that he's what I would call a true fullback in that that's not all he can do. He's a kid he's a good 6'2.5". I mean, he's a bigger kid. I think in our system, in the scout system, he's 6'3". He says he's up to 238, so he's a big kid already. And you look at his tape, his tape from high school, and he's lining up in line at the tight end position. He's lining up at H-back. He's lined up in various spots in bunch formations and all that, plays a lot of defense as well, but that's irrelevant for Florida State. But it does mean, you know, it does mean a lot in terms of special team stuff. But he's a guy that Fisher doesn't really like having just true fullbacks who only can be fullbacks. And you know, he's sort of dealt with that because he's had such good ones at Florida State, starting with Lonnie Pryor, that, you know, that's what he has. But what he really prefers, and he's talked about this behind the scenes, he likes those H-back guys. The guys that are 6'2", 6'3", that you can line up in two tights with that guy in the line of scrimmage, or you can line up in one tight with that guy in an H-back role, or you can have him motion into a fullback role, or he can line up at the fullback spot. He can do different things in the sort of slot role in a bunch formation. He likes guys that give him that flexibility. And from what I can see from this kid's tape, that's precisely what this guy is. And I think that's what you mean by he's a true fullback. He fits exactly what Fisher wants in that role.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the other commitment that we saw that popped this weekend, and it just came up actually on my Twitter feed as I'm looking at it right now, that he's going to visit Texas A&M this weekend anyway. But the other kid that Florida State picked up this weekend was another kid that maybe not as highly rated by some of the systems, by some of the sites as some others, but a kid that I like in terms of tape, and it's there's some division on this in terms of some of the talent people I've talked to, but I like him, and this is Clifford Chapman, a kid from New Orleans, Louisiana, down in the Bayou, visited with his teammate Stephon Taylor. Florida State got him to commit. We weren't sure coming into the visit whether he was going to be a take for Florida State just because of numbers and because they already have a 6'4" defensive back commitment who is, you know, a very highly rated kid and deservedly so. We weren't sure they were going to be able to take both of them. Well, they offered him in Tallahassee and he popped. So now you've got another kid. This is a kid I like. Again, because of some flexibility. What are your thoughts on this one and where he fits in terms of what Florida State staff is thinking in taking Clifford Chapman in this class?
Well, I mean, Florida State likes his ability to. He's versatile. He could end up at linebacker at Florida State. He's 6'5". He's got a big frame. Right now he's playing safety, but he is a hard-nosed football player.
He brings the lumber.
Yes,
that's
he
one
does.
Thing that's true. That's very clear on his highlight tape is this kid loves to hit. He's not, you know, heavy, but he hits heavy.
Yeah. He hits the way that LaMarcus Joyner hit.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. And the thing is, he does the same thing where he kind of leads in with the forehead. It's not targeting per se, but he just sticks his head in there. And, you know, Bradley Jennings, Monster, used to do that back when I was playing, and he hit so heavy because of that. And this is a kid that does that.
Oh, he hits hard. He's also very rangy and athletic. The question was whether Florida State would take him and Jamel Cook. The answer to that is yes. Florida State would absolutely take those two. Florida State feels good about where they stand with Jamel Cook coming out of the official visit. The kid is impossible to get a hold of, so I haven't been able to talk to him yet.
He doesn't talk much. It's all
right. Yeah, I got three words out of him before he told me that he was going to eat yesterday. So.
Hopefully they were a good three words, but you know, I talked about this on the Noel Digest premium boards and a little bit on Twitter that I like the take for Chapman. And again, there's some difference of opinion among some of the folks that scout the Louisiana area. And, you know, this is a kid that, that from what I understand, LSU just didn't have room for. But he's a kid that, you know, here's my thinking on this. Kid measured in at over 6'5 at Florida State on his official visit, just over 180 pounds. So, you know, he's thin, no doubt. But the kid ran a 54-second 400 meters at 6'5 as a junior in high school. So you know the kid can run. I mean, that's running like a deer. And you get that kid to 215 at 6'5 with the way that he hits at 180, you're looking at a kid that can play in so many different roles on this defense. I actually think there's a chance, and again, you never know how kids learn. You know, that's the real question about how quickly the kid can pick stuff up. But I think there's a chance that this kid's the backup money as a freshman. So, you know, a guy, because of how much he plays in the box in high school, and remember, the money position at Florida State is the weak side linebacker with the defensive back at that position, essentially. In their scheme, they call the weak side linebacker the money so that they can put the Will linebacker there, they can put a safety there, they can put a cornerback there, whatever. And regardless, they're all playing money. The money has a particular set of assignments depending on what they're in. I think he's backing up Nate Andrews pretty early, whether as the third string guy or as the second string guy, right away, because that's the kind of position that fits him, playing a little bit more in the box. And that's where I think he's a little different than Jamel Cook. Jamel Cook, I don't see as much of a box player at this point. He's more of what I see as a free safety prospect who could potentially grow into a linebacker as well, but I don't see that as much. This is a kid that I think it's 50-50 that this kid winds up playing linebacker.
Or at least he playing. He definitely has the frame for it. It's just it'll be a question of whether or not they can put enough weight on him.
Right, and if he doesn't play linebacker, then he's playing money, which is just linebacker when they're going multiple defensive backs, and you want a kid that's going to take up that kind of space in the passing game without losing too much in the running game. And I mean that's the flexibility that you have, and when you put a bunch of 6'4", 6'5", guys out there against spread teams, it reduces the space on the field. I mean, that's one of the benefits of that. So I like the take.
Absolutely. I think he's a good player. LSU just ran out of room. They're going to have an incredible DB class.
Yeah, the only class that touches Florida State.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting how they close with, you know, but I like Chapman, and I like Neighbors. I think Florida State picked up two diamonds in the rough here.
Yeah, I don't think that their reach is at all. And you know, there's some pessimism out there that says, oh, Florida State, you know, they're getting to the end, and they're not going to be able to get the prospects that they wanted, so they're offering some kids to fill spots. I don't think that's what's happening. I mean, for one, there's as I mentioned earlier, there really aren't a whole lot of spots in that 2017 class right now. I mean, there's 12 seniors right now. 12 seniors for this 2016 season, which is one fewer than they had this year. So, I mean, it's a tight class already. And then, you know, you're going to expect Dalvin Cook to go pro. You might get Rod Johnson to go pro. That's 14. So there's going to need to be some attrition for them to sign anywhere near a full class in 2017. So, you know, if anything, if there's a kid that they're not completely sold on, they're going to pass this year because they could potentially roll that over one more bit. I still think they wind up with a full class because they're going to land some kids down the stretch. But I think actually Neighbors' commitment, the reason that they wound up going after him is that there had been a couple other tight end or H-back prospects on the board. You know, a kid from Southern Cal. You remember his name? I don't remember his name, but he's winding up sticking at Southern Cal. There's a kid from Missouri that they'd taken a look at, a 6'7" kid, and those guys wound up not really panning out in terms of the recruiting process. And that's where I think this kid ended up on the board, is that they were looking at potentially getting an H-back or tight end, an additional one. This, you know, sort of in this class, we saw that the last couple months, and I think that's partly because from everything we're told, Maven Saunders is going to be at least experimentally moved to wide receiver in the spring, which means that they might need a little bit of extra help in terms of a guy that can line up at the H-back role or line up in the fullback role or whatever. Not to say that Saunders, even at wide receiver, wouldn't line up in an H-back role once in a while in terms of being able to do that, but that I think might be one of the reasons that they did that. So I don't know. in terms of the close and in terms of how many spots remain in this class, why don't you catch us up on sort of what your expectations are? And also, you know, you've been talking to a lot of people after what was a huge visit weekend for Florida State. Why don't you catch us up on what happened in this visit weekend and where Florida State sits with some of the major players on the board coming up, coming into National Signing Day?
Well, I believe Florida State has five spots left.
I think they've got six.
Right now,
I think they've got six if they get the right six. But I think they will sign five more. I think they have six I think they can stretch to six. But anyway, we'll count on five.
Okay, five. you've got five-star DN Brian Burns. You've got five-star DN Jonathan Congbo. Four-star cornerback Trayvon Mullen. Four-star defensive back Carlos Becker. Four-star guard Landon Dickerson. Four-star tackle Juwan Williams. Four-star wide receiver Keith Gavin. Four-star linebacker Dontavius Jackson. I feel very confident that Florida State's going to be able to pull five of those players. Which five remains to be seen.
Right, and let's go back through those again by position, right?
Okay.
So you mentioned...
Well, I mean, there's three on offense.
Three on offense, Keith Gavin at wide receiver.
Yes.
The only target really on the board at wide receiver.
Yes.
Juwan Williams and Landon Dickerson on the offensive line, right? So... That's your right. Three offense. They're going to be, those three spots are going to be open for those three guys no matter what, because they're all three elite players, and you're going to make room for all three of them.
Correct.
So those three are on offense. All right, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to, you know, go into a little bit. Dickerson is down to Florida State and Tennessee. Alabama's in it. They did a good job on his visit. But it's going to come down to Florida State and Tennessee. He takes an official to Tennessee this weekend. Florida State head coach Jimbo Fisher will be doing his in-home this week. So it's going to come down to who he likes more. I give Florida State the edge right now.
Is Jimbo going to wear his brown closer jacket?
Oh, of course.
Okay, well, Florida State should have the edge here. All right.
Coffee color is for closing, right? Then you've got...
Now, Dickerson, by the way, Dickerson... is a mean SOB. So this is a kid, I think he's got to be right at the top of the board of the wish list for Florida State, because if you want to run the football particularly in a zone scheme, you've got to have some mean SOBs at the offensive guard position. And this kid is one of those kids, and he moves well. He can play four positions on the offensive line.
Just watching him pull is a thing of beauty. He's mean, he's nasty. And he gets up, he hits the guy that he wants to hit, drives him into the ground, then he gets up and he looks for somebody else to hit just because he wants to hit somebody else.
Yeah, and he's a Rick Trickett kid. I mean, he's talked about how one of the things he's really attracted to at Florida State is Trickett. So, I mean, this is the kind of guy right at the top of your board. All right, now next you're going to go into Williams.
Yeah, Williams is it's Florida State, LSU. He really enjoyed his LSU visit, and then you've got Texas A&M. I think it comes down to Florida State and LSU at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
He's got an uncle who's in Houston who really likes LSU that's pushing there. But in the end, I also think that he ends up at Florida State, marking the best offensive line class possibly ever at Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. I mean, the one that they had a couple of years ago was a pretty good class back in 2014, which we've started seeing coming in. And I think this one on paper winds up better than that one, which is saying a lot. And, you know, Juwan Williams, actually, in terms of comparisons, it was interesting to see the picture of him standing next to big Rod Johnson, because he looked like a 2 years younger carbon copy of Rod Johnson. And you pop in the tape, and that's... I don't think he's quite as good a prospect as Johnson was coming out, but he's that kind of prospect that, man, just looks so good on tape and definitely looks the part on the hoof. And again, a kid that's going to be high on the wish list there. And again, I agree with you. I think it comes down to LSU and Florida State. I think this one's tighter than the Dickerson one. I'm comfortable penciling Dickerson into the Florida State class at this point. I think there's more Florida State has longer to go to make sure that they get Williams in this class. I think the uncle situation with LSU being closer there is going to be a concern. But either way, both if Florida State lands one of these two guys, it's still one of the best offensive line classes they've ever brought in.
Mom wants Florida State, so that's a thing that's, you know, going in for for the Seminoles. But
and speaking of another player where mom wants Florida State.
Yep, that's 4-star wide receiver Keith Gavin. If you've been on the boards, you know that I am pessimistic about Florida State's chances to land this kid. Bama came in with the lead. That's point blank. Bama came in with the lead.
That's into the visit weekend. Gavin.
Yes,
yeah.
Came into the visit weekend. He really enjoyed his official visit. He's been to Florida State multiple times. Mom wants Florida State, but dad is pushing Bama.
He enjoyed the visit more than he expected, from what I understand.
Yes, and I have no idea where he's going to go. I don't think I'm just going to flat out say it.
Flip a coin.
The end, I think Bama might win out. I'm going to stick with my guns here. I'm going to say that Bama wins because I've been saying that for a while. But I honestly, it's a shot in the dark.
Yeah,
nobody knows where this kid's going. I don't think even he knows where this kid's going.
I don't think he has
any idea. Saban and Jimbo Fisher are both going in home this week, so it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, I think I was right with you in terms of pessimism on this, and you know, again, those of you who've been around the Noel Digest boards know that I've sort of had Gavin on the outside of the class for quite a while now. After this visit, particularly since finding out that he so much enjoyed being around DeAndre Francois and Malik Henry, where he spent a ton of time with those two guys, among a few other freshmen, that he really enjoyed a lot more than he expected. Start to wonder whether those young quarterbacks, I'm thinking like a wide receiver. I'm thinking, who's going to be throwing me the football, right? And that's one of the things. I mean, he was committed to Florida State coming into the season, right?
Yes.
And then he gets to see a little bit of the season. I don't remember exactly when he decommitted.
He decommitted before the season started.
It was August, right?
Yes, in August.
Either way, you know, he kind of cooled even after the decommitment. You know, he reopened things. But, you know, he's watching the passing game this last year, and I'm thinking as a wide receiver, dang, just doesn't look all that good. And Bama's over there winning a national title with a former Florida State quarterback, I might add. You start to wonder a little. And then all of a sudden you get to visit and you start thinking, yeah, I could see myself catching from this guy, whether it be DeAndre Francois or Malik Henry. Yeah, I can get along with these guys. Now I'm starting to wonder whether or not, you know, again, the childhood favorite, mama's favorite. I think Florida State's in much better position than they've been in months with this kid.
Absolutely. And I would not argue with that at all.
And I think, again, he's one of the kids. He's one of the maybe three guys in terms of my board. He's one of the top three guys on my board. If I'm Florida State, if I'm on the coaching staff, of the guys that I really want in this class. Because of the unique skill set that he brings to the table. I mean, he's, to me, the comparison for him is Mike Williams from Clemson. Those guys are rare. If you can get a 6'4 wide receiver that runs like that and has those kind of ball skills, those guys, ask Jameis Winston the difference between throwing with a Kelvin Benjamin out there and not having him. Those guys make differences. And you want difference makers, he's a difference maker. So he and Landon Dickerson are two of the say three that I would have on my list. I might have a list of four that I'd put above others. But any other thoughts on the offensive recruits before we flip sides of the football?
Yeah, I love Keith Gavin. I love his game. and I would just like to flat out say that he is not a defensive player, no matter how many times.
Good Lord.
Anybody wants to come on the board and say he should play defense. That
no.
is not the case. The kid is an offensive player.
No, and not only that, Jimbo Fisher talks about this, that you want your best athletes usually on defense with one major exception. And what's that?
That's wide receiver.
The way he puts it is, you put your best athletes on defense except for the guys who can change the numbers on the scoreboard. If he's a guy that can change, he used to say this about Carlos Williams. Yeah, Carlos, you know, you want your best athletes on defense, but Carlos is one of those guys that can change the numbers on the scoreboard. And those guys you want on offense. Keith Gavin is one of those guys. He changes the numbers on the scoreboard. And that's why that guy is an offensive player. I mean, people look at, and again, it reminds me of Greg Jones back when I came in. I came in as a freshman with Greg Jones. We arrived within about 2 weeks of each other in 2000, summer of 2000. And I remember Greg Jones showing up and looking nothing like any Florida State running back had looked like in years. And, you know, Jamal Reynolds in the weight room going, yeah, you can be a fullback. And Greg going, no, I'm a tailback. He's like, no, you're a fullback. No, I'm a tailback. They'll give you like 2 weeks. You'll be a linebacker. You'll be a linebacker. And Big G just kind of looked at him and, just sort of stared at him and just went, I'm a tailback. And it took one scrimmage for Greg to go, I'm a tailback to everybody. And the thing is, Gavin doesn't look like a normal wide receiver, but he's a wide receiver. Whether he's 235 by the time he finishes, he's then a 235-pound wide receiver. That's what he is.
The instincts are there.
And the fluidity.
They are not there on defense.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree. Let's flip over to the defensive side. Again, talking a little bit about the visits from this week, and then also a few key players that are coming in next week, and some others on the board that have already visited. So let's go ahead and break that down.
Yeah, well, you've got at the defensive end position, we'll start on the line. Always important to have those guys.
Yep.
You've got 2 5-stars coming in this week: Brian Burns, Jonathan Congbo. Florida State's still trying to bring in 4-star defensive end Antonius Clayton.
Not going to happen.
I doubt it. We'll see. They may get him in.
Not,
we'll see.
Even if they get him in, they ain't getting him.
I don't believe so. But I think that they have a very good shot with both Burns and Congbo. The thing with Congbo is that Florida State really came out of nowhere with this one. He decommitted from Tennessee back in December. Florida State offered. And now Florida State's getting the final visit. The thing with Congbo is that he doesn't like to say no to people. So the last impression that he's going to have is of a visit to Florida State. Because after that, it's the dead period. No more visits, no more, talking with coaches, nothing like that. So the last thing that he's going to remember is a visit to Florida State. And this kid is a monster. He's got 3 years to play. A big fan of his. And then you've got Brian Burns, who's been Florida State, Georgia, Florida. Florida State played the long game with this kid, and it looks like it's going to pay off. They've just been steady, still with him. Georgia led for most of the cycle, then Florida led. And now Florida State, creeped up there. And then they led, heading into Florida's official. And now they're back tied. But Florida State will get the last chance to make an impression on the kid. He's been to Florida State a couple times. He visited unofficially for the Miami game. So he knows what he's getting there. It's just all about how much he enjoys the visit.
Yeah, and I think, again, when you're ahead going into that last visit, that bodes well. And this is a kid that, he's – you talk about guys that are potential difference makers. We were just talking about Keith Gavin as a guy that changes the numbers on the scoreboard. Elite edge rushers, if they're truly elite, are difference makers. And Brian Burns has the potential. He's only about 220 pounds right now. Put another 15 pounds on him, another 25 pounds on him, and you're looking at an elite edge rusher. So another guy that could be that. And I think Congbo is a guy. These guys are actually in a lot of ways sort of different in that Burns is a guy that 2 years from now could be a first round pick. Be in discussions for a first round pick. 3 years from now could be a first round pick. It's going to take him some time to develop. Congbo is a kid that can step in and play day one. I mean, you're talking about a kid that physically is ready to go. As a JUCO end, he actually he's more athletic, not quite as big, but kind of the ability, the same kind of potential to come in and make an impact that Tank Carradine had, where that kind of JUCO potential where he's coming in just blossomed in his 2 years coming out of high school, and he is a monster. So both of those guys you put at the top of your list. And the thing is, if you can get both of those, you land both of them and you make room because there needs to be room for that kind of edge player. And Florida State hasn't had a whole lot of them. Josh Sweat's the only real elite edge guy FSU's had in a long time. I mean, all apologies to DeMarcus Walker, who had a great year last year, but they've not had true elite edge guys other than Josh Sweat in a while. If they can land these two kids, they'll have landed three in this class, because I think Janarius Robinson is a potential elite kid there as well. So big, big time in terms of visit weekend for those two guys. It'd be interesting to see again. If you land one of the two, you feel good. If you land both of them, my goodness. So keep going down the list. So now we go to defensive tackle, where there are a couple prospects still on that list as well. And again, a couple prospects I really like. I mean, at this point, they're not trying to fill spots. These are home run swings.
Yeah, well, there's only one now. Raekwon Davis is done.
I was talking about Shavar Manuel.
Well,
he's coming in for a visit. I don't think he necessarily flips, but the kid has been affected by visits.
We will see if he comes in for a visit. The kid said that he was going to visit about 15 times between the last time he visited and now. So if he comes in for a visit, I'll change my stance. But until he comes in for a visit, I don't believe it.
Here's where I think the difference is. Who is going to have to pay for all those prior visits?
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Who would have to pay for it this weekend?
Oh, it's going to be Florida State.
Yeah.
But I still don't know, because the kid, he's a good football player. I don't think he's great, but he's.
Yeah, I think he's a little overrated on the services, but boy, he's still a good player. He's still a legit four-star kid.
Yeah, I'm going to be stingy here. Until he comes in, I don't believe it.
I'm just going to say if I'm in his shoes and I'm going to be able to get one more visit where I get paid to come in and eat lobster and crab legs and a couple ribeyes and so on the house and hang out one more weekend, and it's something that I'm not having to pay for or arrange a ride for, then I'm coming in. Prior stuff, he was, you know, as you know, he was going to have trouble arranging rides all along. So, you know, I think that's a little different. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come in. If he comes in, I think he's a legit possibility to flip because of the way that he's been impacted by visits so far. I still don't see him in the class, but guy that you have to mention. The other name on the board is really the guy that would be more likely to wind up in the class, and I think he's about 50-50. Tell us a little bit about that. He just came in.
You've got four-star defensive tackle Stephon Taylor. He's teammates with Clifford Chapman.
Doesn't hurt.
They're friendly. They're not like best friends. It's not like they're going to be a package deal.
Still doesn't hurt.
Yes, it still doesn't hurt. I would still give the edge to Texas at this point. But Florida State swung for the fence here. They like him. They brought him in. He had a great official. But I think Texas still holds the lead at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to give the slight edge to Texas, but I think Florida State, again, with this visit weekend, gave him enough to think about that it's not a guarantee. And in my view, closing out, if Florida State lands two of those four defensive line prospects in this class, whether it be two ends or one end and a tackle or whatever, you land two of those kids, that is a home run at that position, you know, in terms of the defensive line considered as a position as a whole. You land three and it's just, you know, you've got to make room, but my goodness. I don't think they're going to land three. I think they may well land two of those kids, though, of those four, and that's a real success. So, you know, that we'll see about that. Three other possible remaining players on the board. You could potentially stretch that to four depending on where you put Young. But let's go ahead and go through the back seven now.
Yeah, well, you've got at linebacker, you have the one and only Dontavius Jackson. He is the lone target, and I feel very confident that he's in Florida State's class right now. Very confident.
A lot of good vibes there, but Texas, again, is it's hard to pull kids out of Texas, and he's got an unofficial visit there this weekend.
He does. He's going to take an unofficial. He did not take an official to Texas.
Yeah, makes a difference.
So, It does. He's visited Texas plenty of times, but he's not going to get the five-star treatment. It's going to be interesting. Florida State feels very good about their chances, and they're – how do I go? I'm trying to figure out how to go about this. But from what I have been told, people inside the Texas program think he's coming to Florida State.
Yeah, that's the rumblings that I've sort of picked up, but you know, I haven't talked specifically to anybody in the Texas program, but people who have, I keep hearing the same thing in that regard. Interesting thing with Jackson is that you know, you hear a lot of Florida State fans talking about, you know, oh, you got to get linebackers. You got to, if they don't get Jackson, then they got to go for a backup. I don't agree with that. The reason you want Jackson in this class is that he is a legit thumper, four-star thumper in the, on the inside. He's a guy that you want on your roster. This is not a, you know, he's a guy that you want in any class. You want him in. But they don't have a pressing need to make sure that they get one more linebacker in the class no matter what. If it's the right kid, you bring him in. This is the right kid. But if they don't get him, it's actually not a disaster. In part because, again, I think Clifford Chapman is a kid that could be a really good linebacker. And I'm also higher on Emmett Rice and especially Josh Brown than a lot of people at the linebacker position. So I think Florida State's fine there. But boy, this, again, it's a matter of taking a really good class and making it a great class by adding that kid. We'll again see. I actually, in terms of needs, I actually have him a little lower on the board than a lot of FSU fans and some of the other analysts and such. I think, you know, important get because of the quality of recruit he is and because of what he could bring to the table and making you better, but not just because you need another linebacker. And I think that's why they don't have a backup plan for him as well.
That would make sense.
So then we got defensive backs, and this one gets interesting.
Got two left, because from what I understand, Pai Young is not a take.
Yeah, I don't think he is either.
I don't think he's a take for Michigan either. So it's going to be interesting to see where he falls. I really don't know where he's going to fall. Maybe Louisville, maybe USF. Not really sure where he's going to end up at this point.
Yeah.
But the two that we still have on the board are cornerback Trayvon Mullen and defensive back Carlos Becker. Becker is pretty much in this class. I'm very confident. Florida State laid out the red carpet for him and his mother. They went the extra mile. His mother has a hearing disability, so they brought an interpreter with them to make sure that she was comfortable with everything she had. She did not go on the visit to Ohio State with him.
Yeah, and from what every buzz around the program is that Becker's going to be in the program. That he's going to be in this class. And he's a guy that Charles Kelly, as you know, absolutely loves.
Yes, he does.
Because he's a guy that you can put out there at boundary corner. You can potentially put him out there at field corner in the right circumstances. He could play either safety position. He could play in the star position. Not an ideal star, but he's a guy that can play all over the secondary and do it well. And you talk about another kid when you pop in the tape, who's a headhunter at that position. Not many corners like to hit. This is a kid that, regardless of whether he's at corner or safety or whatever, he plays with a nasty edge and with a real swagger about him, which is something that I look for in cornerback prospects. I really like that. Also a kid that's a lot faster than people realize. I mean, 10-8 and 100 meters, and you can see that closing speed in a couple cases on his high school tape. Then you got Trayvon Mullen.
Yeah, LSU felt that they led going in by a lot. They felt that they had locked it up going into the official. They feel the same coming out of it. It'll be interesting. I mean, this is a South Florida kid.
You never know a South Florida kid. Just ask about Jamel Cook.
Yes, they will. If he comes in for an unofficial to Florida State, I'll change my stance. But right now, I believe he's firmly going to LSU. He has plans to come in for an unofficial visit. That's been in the works for a while. He's planning to do it. He's planning to bring mom. And if that happens, you know, maybe you start changing your tune. But if that doesn't happen, then you write him off.
And see, I'll say the same thing in reverse about that as I did about Shavar Manuel. Who would have to pay the bill?
Yeah, exactly.
So the odds of him coming in is on an unofficial where, you got to get up way early in the morning or leave late at night, and you got to pay, you know, family's got to pay for it and all this, and you're not going to get the 5-star treatment. You're just going up to visit. Well, you know what? I'm kind of feeling tired. I'm not going to go. Whereas an official visit, kid's got all sorts of reasons to come in. So I think Manuel more likely to show up. Mullen, unlikely to show up. I think Mullen ends up in the LSU class, and it's a shame because that kid is really, really good.
Yes, he is. I mean, he is. He's very, very good. I mean, there's not much more you can say about it. He's one of the top corners in the class. Florida State has a very good defensive back class. I mean, very good. You have one elite corner in Levante Taylor.
Difference maker.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you have Jamel Cook, who's likely sticking with the class. You have you have Kyle Myers, who I think is very underrated, has great size.
Myers reminds me of Marquez White, actually. His tape reminds me a lot of Marquez White. Looks like a Marquez White clone.
I don't think he's as athletic as Marquez is, but I think that's not a terrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a 37.5-inch vertical, which, you know, that's not quite White's range. I mean, White's like a 41, but I mean, I think he's a lot more athletic than people realize. I think he's pushing that kind of Marquez White athleticism. But anyway, then you got Becker.
Then you have Becker. So it's a very good Florida State defensive back class to go on top of a very good defensive back class last year and a very good defensive back class that's shaping up for next year. So landing Mullen isn't the biggest deal. I mean, you'd obviously like to get him, but Florida State's in very good shape in the secondary.
Yeah, anytime you can land a top four cornerback in the country, you're going to want to do that. But again, this gets back to the same thing with Dontavius Jackson. The right kid, you make the room. But it's not the end of the world if you don't land him. But these are the right kids. I mean, they're kids that if you're going to get, you make room. Now, you know, again, Florida State can't take all these kids. They got, you're saying five spots. I think they've got enough room to make six spots. And you know, that's difficult. As things stand, I think the kids that are most likely to be in the class are Dickerson, Burns, Dontavius Jackson, and Becker. That's four right there. And then you wind up with, you know, two more if you go to six. And that's if Keith Gavin shows in, then that's five. And then you've got room for one more defensive tackle or maybe a Trayvon Mullen or whatever. I don't know if they could stretch to seven if somebody wanted in. I think it's unlikely that a seventh guy wanted in. If they got there, you know, it'd be interesting to see which kids wound up, you know, whether they counted on that kind of attrition or not. And I also wonder if a seventh guy wanted in, whether they would walk over to Gabe, whether they would give Gabe Neighbors a call, for example, and say, "You mind taking a gray shirt?"
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an option. You know, Florida State made room for him in this class. They like him a lot, but he's a prime gray shirt target.
Right. And he's a kid that I think would take a gray shirt just because he would have the offer and he wants to play for Florida State, and it wouldn't actually impact him because he's not going to be starting this year with Vickers out there, or he's not going to be starting in the next couple of years with Freddie Stevenson and Vickers anyway. So it gives him a little time. So, you know, that's where that becomes interesting. I don't think he's a gray shirt offer, but I think that's one of those things that, you know, they've probably been honest with him about and saying, this is where things stand. If this happens, then that's where we go. But I think they can make room for six, and I think they'd have to gray shirt for seven. I don't think either one is necessarily going to be a problem. I think you're right. They probably land five. So here's a question. Out of all these kids, who does Florida State have to land out of these five for this to be a success? Let's say they land five more.
Have to land?
Yeah. Who makes this class great if they land them? I've got my thoughts on that.
Burns, Dickerson, Becker. I'm going to go away from you. I really like Dontavius Jackson. I think he's a difference maker.
Yeah, so I agree with that. I agree with that. I just don't think they're not taking him because they desperately need linebackers. They're taking him because he's really good.
Yeah. I mean, he is so good that I would have him in my top five along with Keith Gavin.
Yeah. See, for me, this class, recruiting is a crapshoot in a lot of ways because you're going to bring in a lot of good kids for any of these top programs. You're going to bring in a lot of kids with a lot of measurables, a lot of good things. But the difference between great classes and good ones is the difference makers. And to me, there are a few difference makers left on the board. Like guys that change the scoreboard one way or another. And I think one of those guys is Keith Gavin, where I think you've got to bring him in just because of the size at the wide receiver position, the potential to make a difference there down the line. Landon Dickerson, you win with physicality inside. And then I'm actually going to go out on a limb here and say Brian Burns and Jonathan Kongbo would be the two guys that I would say would be my four, because you know I think they're okay on the defensive tackle side. They're okay, but great edge rushers. We saw what happened with the Broncos and the Patriots this weekend. Great edge rushers can really change the score too. And you get those two guys, and all of a sudden the defense changes in terms of the ability to pressure the quarterback. And Florida State's not been able to pressure the quarterback all that well the last few years. So that's another difference maker point there. So all things being equal, I think that's where I would head. And then after that, you know, you have your druthers. I'd stick Trayvon Mullen in there because, you know, to me, you always start with defensive line and corners. But be interesting to see where Florida State actually winds up in terms of all this. I think it'll be one of the more interesting national signing days in recent years. And there's still plenty of stuff left to talk about. We'll have a few more recruiting podcasts to catch up on between now and then. But any final thoughts as we move forward?
Yeah, Keith Gavin needs to play offense.
Yeah, on that note, that's again going to do it for us here on the Unconquered Podcast. Thanks again to our guest, Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com. Now, before we get out of here, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can follow Wayne at Wayne McGahee III. That's Wayne McGahee III. And, of course, Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. Catch more of our recruiting analysis over at NoleDigest.com. We got plenty of really interesting stuff coming, and make sure to catch our next podcast where we're going to talk a little bit more about numbers and where Florida State stands in terms of the roster. I'm Jason Staples, and this has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a V Sporto channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.